Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And joining me today on the search for universal wisdom to improve our lives and the human condition is Pastor Bill Jenkins, author of 15, Holy Number for Success in 2015. Hello, Pastor Jenkins.
Oh, hello, Cheryl. It's good to be with you today.
Welcome. Bill, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I seek within ourselves a deeper inner intuitive way to reach a clearer view of who we are, where we come from, allowing us in this action to learn more about the universal laws of energy or spirit so we can implement this divine wisdom to best merge our soul and physical life energies, improve our life journey, and serve the world community, becoming conscious, authentic, empowered citizens of the cosmos. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Pastor Jenkins, the founder and senior pastor of Church of Acts in Indianapolis and host of Generation Acts, which is a weekly television broadcast on TBN, and who has been recognized by his community as a man of distinction, receiving the Mayor's Community Service Award, shares his insights on how the Bible and Spirit offer us through the power of the Word to find answers and direction to create our best life journey. Bill, I often ask my guests to think back to a childhood memory, person, or event that may have shown them or others around them clues to their innermost interests, values, and showed them a propensity for the work and life they are living now or leading now. So can you think back to something that happened to you as a younger person?
Well, it's been a little while now. I'm getting older by the day, but there's been a lot of great people that have had a lot of great influence on my life. But I think if I was to pick one, I'd have to say it would be my mother. My mother raised me as a single mom, even though my father was a part of my life. My mom, she raised me. She was there to take me to baseball practice, be there for baseball games, be there for sporting events, get me to and from school, and just really her life example really helped to lay a foundation for me. So many things now, even though she has passed on, many things I look back on that I believe in, that I even teach my children, were developed from what my mother had taught me as a young person.
And I love what you just said there. She was the example. You know, parents can tell children whatever they want, but children learn from the patterns and example that they see on a daily basis. So I like very much what you just said. But there was something that happened to you when you were 17 years old, and it had to do with baseball that changed your life.
Yeah, well, what happened was I actually had an opportunity to play baseball at a higher level in the minor leagues. But a couple of days before that, I had an encounter with the Lord that really changed my life. And I felt a change of direction take place where I felt like instead of playing baseball, I wanted to help people. I wanted to expound on the Word, share my beliefs with other people, get the message of the Lord Jesus Christ out. And so that's the direction that I've been going in for the past, 28 or so years.
Well, did you get hurt, or did you have a dream, or did something happen that took your interest away from baseball? Because you had some potential. You might have gone in a different direction.
Yeah, it wasn't anything like that. It wasn't any kind of injury. It was just simply I had gone to church, and, me and my mother, we had listened to a concert from a church across the street. We decided to go over there, and it was just an encounter with the Lord. I mean, it was spectacular for me because I've never been in church. I've never really, experienced those kind of a thing, but when I did go to church, I had that encounter with the Lord. All of my priorities began to change. I wasn't interested in some of the things I was interested in as far as pursuing as a career. Now, trust me, my father wasn't too happy about that, but At that point, 17, 18 years of age, I was becoming a man and knew in my heart what I needed to do, which was to, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, your newest book focuses on how many times the number 15 is mentioned in the Bible. Please tell us something about the meaning of numbers and the number 15.
Well, the Lord really put it upon my heart to study this number 15, and I began to see it in every area and aspect of life. I saw 15 is the name of a restaurant, a puzzle game, a punk rock band, even in Major League Baseball, 30 teams total, but 15 in the American, 15 in the National. I saw that 15 was the name of a big screen movie, a TV movie, even a teen soap opera on the Nickelodeon channel. Marilyn Manson, Taylor Swift, both had sung songs 15. Entitled 15. Even the president has 15 connected with him, and that he has 15 executive departments that make up the cabinet. So I thought, wow, if this number 15 has such a significance in the natural realm, that it must have some significance in the spiritual realm. And so as I began to study, I found that number 15 is mentioned 42 times in the Bible. And one of the first mentions is in Genesis 41:45, where Pharaoh gave Joseph a 15-letter Egyptian name that literally meant revealer of secrets. And so I thought, wow, 15 wants to reveal some secrets to us through the Word of God. So as I laid out those 42 mentions of the number 15 in the Bible, I saw that it revolved around five main things that really, I believe, reveal the secret for success in 2015.
Yes, it's an important year, and there are many changes going on right now. And I do like that you mentioned about Joseph, because he was a seer, a visionary, or connected to spirit and God's workers, angels, or messengers.
Yes.
And they helped him. He downloaded messages that helped the Pharaoh help the people. And for a long time,
right,
he was revered as a prophet. Now we go to talk about what exactly is a prophet? Is a prophet a messenger of God?
Yeah, a prophet is a seer. A prophet is a messenger. If you take your hand, the prophet would be the pointy finger on your hand. And so the prophet would be the one that points people in a direction, points them in the direction of goodness, points them in the direction of light, points them in the direction of something good, points them in the direction of what we would call God. And so a prophet is one who would gain insight that they would share with others, that, you know, that they would share with others some information that other people may not have, in order to bring them hope, bring them love, bring them light, bring them something good that could ultimately yield success in their lives.
Well, that is so beautifully said. So it seems to me that many people who seek to understand the universe and its divine force of God, whether by religion or spiritual practices, are really searching for the truth of our being. So many of us have this ability to be a prophet. Perhaps it doesn't only come through religious training, but through a great deal of love and compassion to serve humanity and improve the condition of the world. And I think we're going into an era now where people are more interested in self-development and self-growth, and that will bring us to release the goodness and compassion and love that is really what we're here on earth to discover or remember. You know, we were born, we come with it as children, then our lives get sometimes distracted. We have to remember again who we are, this beautiful inner being connected to spirit. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, so many of the things that you're bringing forth, I mean, we can, relate to, because, this is an important, this is a strategic time, and not only do we need other people to help point us in that direction, but we need to learn how to, sort of, if you will, find our own way based upon the truth that, is presented to us. And so, we can develop these things in our life. And as we develop these things, and as we see that, wow, we're getting something, we're learning something, we're seeing it benefit, we're seeing some good fruit come forth from it, all that does is encourage us to want more, to listen harder, and then to do things to help, other people in this life.
Absolutely. So do individual numbers have hidden messages? And not only, I'm not going to say only individual numbers, but events, coincidences, synchronicity, names, all these things that
Yes.
we can start to say, do they all have hidden messages?
Every name, every person, every place, even when it comes to places, remember, God created places before he created people. So where you're at is just as important as what you've been called to do. If you look in the Bible, there are 31,000 verses. Most people don't understand that one out of six verses contains some reference to a number. And so whether it be numbers, whether it be names, whether it be time, season, whatever it may be, everything has a hidden message in it. For instance, if you just look at the number one is all about singleness or beginning something or unity. The number two is about witness, support, and agreement. The number three is about completion or finishing something. So whenever you see the number three, it could be in direct reference to you finishing something or completing something that you started. The number four is an earth-related number. There's north, south, east, and west. There's four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall. There's, you know, four soils that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 13. The number five is the number of grace or favor. The number of six is the number of man. The number seven is the number of God. The number eight is the number of new beginnings. And then the number of nine would be the number of the fruit of the Spirit or the fullness of the blessing of God. And so we could go on and on. Every single number has some significance. And what I've attempted to do in my new book, 15, is not tell you what I believe it means, but let the Word of God define what it means itself.
I love that you just gave all those descriptions here, because I wrote those all down in my note. I found them all very valuable and important. And I want to read this. You wrote this. While average congregants may miss the mystical or inferred message from Spirit, indeed there are many clues to help the individual navigate the course of his life and improve the conditions of his life. All people who study spiritual scripture or mystical events develop an ability to look deep within the happening to reveal a bigger picture of the coincidence, synchronicity, or numerology factors, all of which offer a great deal of divining guidance. Now, my first book was Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection. And it was through my awareness of coincidences and synchronicity and numbers and miracles that added to my way of seeing the bigger way in which Spirit reaches us if we pay attention. So in regard to numbers, I wrote this, and this was a very long time ago. Nevertheless, my family did not have faith in all this. I kept reminding myself that because I believed in synchronicity and the power of numbers, it did not mean my family had to accept it. More difficult for my family to believe was my interest in the significance of numbers. Just as certain names seemed to link people to each other, I saw numbers that went together and reminded me of important dates, particularly births and deaths. When I was reading the Bible, the numbers intrigued me. When Noah gathered the animals onto the ark, the Lord told him to take seven pairs of every kind of animal that could be used for sacrifice and one pair of the others. In 7 days, God sent rain, which lasted for 40 days and nights. Also in the Bible, Joseph, when he was 17 years old, was sold by his brothers, as we were just talking about before, and taken to Egypt, where he was able to interpret dreams and became a prophet to the king. So the number seven recurs frequently. I believe it's all connected. I believe the numbers in stories that remind us of similar numbers in our lives are God's way of letting us have a link, an association, a physical proof that events are not just random happenings. Now, my mother died on 11/7, and those numbers come up so often to remind me that she is around, her spirit, her soul is around. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, whether it be, you know, I hear people all the time say, well, I see this time, 11/11 on the clock, or, you know, 12/34. I see it all the time. You know, whatever it is, everything is there for a reason. There's never any accident. There's never any coincidence. And I love what you said about, you know, just because you're excited about something doesn't mean everybody else is going to be excited about something. Just because you want to go higher and deeper and further in your knowledge and in your understanding of things doesn't mean everybody else is going to be happy for you, but you have to pursue what you feel is best for you. And so you can't allow other people to dictate or stop you from doing what you feel that you need to do and the calling that you have on your life. And you know what? Maybe, hopefully, someday, you know, they'll come around.
Well, thank you very much for saying that, Bill, because the truth is, when I first had this awakening, I thought, since I didn't believe in all this stuff before in the beginning of my earlier life, that now that I knew it, I understood it, I felt it, I was part of it, it would be easy for me to show so many other people. But you're right, it's not. It has to be their calling, and it has to be their destiny and their plan. And we can plant seeds, and we can hope that they will find this truth, because in essence, without it, life is very challenging and can be painful. There can be suffering. But once you understand these things, it becomes much easier. Let's go on from that. According to Jeremiah 1:10, you explain that a prophecy has a sixfold purpose. Can you explain what a prophecy may help us to understand?
Absolutely. When you look in the Bible, you'll see in Jeremiah chapter 1:10 that when prophecy comes forth, when, you know, someone speaks out, when there's a spokesperson, when somebody stands up and communicates the heart and the mind of God, what happens is things get uprooted. In other words, things get removed from the bottom up. I tell people all the time, you can't deal with the fruit of the problem, you got to deal with the root of the problem. And so sometimes when prophets declare, when they direct, when they instruct, counsel, comfort, warn, you know, even offend people, what happens is that word that they give can uproot some things or remove some things from the bottom up to get it out so that, you know what, that soil is prepared for the good seed to be planted in it. But also what happens, according to Jeremiah 1:10, is there's a pulling down, or there's a removing of something from a fixed position. Something is extracted. You know, you got to get rid of all of, you know, sort of the negative and the bad. You got to get rid of that,
yes.
And then you got to replace it with the good.
Right.
And so it's important that we pull things down. The third thing is that prophecy can destroy or leave no evidence. And I mean that in a good way, because a lot of times we allow our past to be dictated by our future. So some of the things that we have been a part of, that we have done, that have word cursed us, maybe in the past, that others have said that has discouraged us, we need those things destroyed. We need those things blotted out of our past so we don't allow our past to dictate our future. Prophecy also overthrows things, or it helps us to go beyond the intended target. So you may have a target, but you may be shooting real short of what the Lord wants you to shoot for. In other words, there may be a lot more out there than you believe. And you know what? People get beat up because of insecurity issues, and they don't realize that, wow, you know what? Maybe I have been intended for greatness. Maybe there is good things inside of me. Maybe I can do more than what people thought that I could do. And we can go beyond that intended target whenever we begin to develop and include prophecy in our lives. It also builds, according to Jeremiah 1:10. It erects things, it shapes things, it forms things, and it builds things in our life. And then last of all, it plants things, or it settles, it establishes, it furnishes. And I believe that's what this year is all about. You know, where God is putting furnishings inside our building. You know, God isn't done with us. We're all buildings under construction. We all need improvement. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. I believe this is a year when we're getting furnished with some good things. So the furniture is being brought in. You know, the couch is being brought in. The lights are being brought in. The TV's brought in. All these nice things are being brought in, you know, into our lives. And prophecy has a way of bringing those things about.
That's beautifully said. You know what it is? What's being brought into us? The remembrance of who we are, and the goodness, and the humility, and the patience, and the integrity, and all the qualities that are universal qualities of spirit that we sometimes forget when we're here in the material world. So, I see it that way too. You know, as a Reiki energy practitioner, I help people to release blockages in their body that cause physical symptoms, because these physical symptoms start in the mind and in the spirit or heart or soul, and then later they project into illness or disease. So everything you just said is what I actually work with individuals in helping them release so that they can rebuild and recreate, live in the now and not the past, and not worry about the future either, because we've come with a plan and a destiny, and we're all interconnected to each other in this unity and oneness. So there's nothing really to fear except fear itself, and that's what we need to conquer. We need to ask for help from spirit and take that guidance and release some of the misbeliefs or misconceptions that we have been given by teachers or parents or other people who simply don't let us find our own way. And you were saying that before.
Yeah.
Some of the people, we want to help them find this way because it is the way and the right way, but they have to do it at their own discretion and in their own time. Now, you also described the six main purposes of the Bible. Now, the Bible's been around forever, right? It's the oldest book on the planet, and it has many wonderful stories, but it's also up for interpretation. And individually, at whatever level of development we are spiritually, we may see it differently, and that's okay, because there's no one way to understanding all these things. We don't have to have one way. We can have many ways, correct? So describe some of the main purposes of the Bible.
Well, you know, the Bible, you know, I believe, if you just take it B-I-B-L-E, is basic instructions before leaving this earth. And so one of the main things that, you know, the Bible is there is to give us instructions, to be a guide, you know, to help us to have something that, you know, can light our steps so that we can head in the right direction. You know, direction. A moment ago when you were talking, you're stirring my spirit up because I love what you said. Yeah, I tell people all the time, we don't have any other problems other than spiritual problems.
Yes.
If you can get the spiritual things worked out in your life, all the other things, and that includes physical, financial, emotional, marital, everything, I believe. I've seen it happen too many times. I've been around too long to know. If you can get the spiritual things worked out in your life, everything else has a way of falling into place. And so I believe that the Bible is one of those tools that we can use to gain wisdom, to get understanding, to make application of the truth in it in our lives in order to put us on that path that can set us up for success.
Absolutely. So it is a tool. There are other tools, but this is a basic tool to do what we have to do while we're here in this earth. What did we come for? We all came to experience and refine our soul and our essence. So when we return beyond here, I do believe consciousness survives physical death, and we're very much more than the physical body, as I know you believe also, and most of the listeners of this show also believe. So we're here to rediscover, renew, and refine ourselves so that when we return beyond here, we take all these experiences and awareness with us, and we need all the tools that we can find to help us navigate this material world, which has its many challenges. So how do you view coincidences, synchronicity, numerology, and all the other things we've been discussing, and how may we learn to value them more?
Well, we have to understand that, you know, everything that goes on is for a reason. It's for a purpose, even those things that we don't like. You know, we talked earlier about, you know, heading in a direction or having some beliefs or sharing some thoughts that other people, you know, may not understand, like, or appreciate. But one thing we need to learn is that, you know, everybody isn't going to be our reward. We're not going to be everybody else's reward, but we will be somebody's reward. And so we need to trust in that and understand that everything that goes on, there's some purpose in it. So find out what that purpose is. Find out what that lesson is. I think if we learn that lesson, the quicker we learn it, then, you know what, the less we have to repeat some things in our life in order for us to get what we're trying to be, you know, learning. And so it's very important that we take everything, even the good and the bad. Don't waste even the bad times. Don't waste the bad things. Look at those things as opportunities, not as obstacles, for you to learn from it, for you to grow, and for you to use to help other people, perhaps to avoid some things in their future. A lot of things that we go through in our lives, we could be really used for other people to help them to maybe be more successful and to avoid some of the pitfalls maybe that we experience in our life. I tell people, you're going to learn through revelation or tribulation. You're either going to learn through just learning, through being revealed, through being taught, and you just make an application, or you're going to have to learn through tribulation, where you're going to have to go through some troubles, the school of hard knocks, if you will, and you're going to have to learn that way. Now, it depends on what kind of personality, I guess, you have, and I guess it depends on whether you're just making the decision to be prideful or humble, on whether you're going to take everything that comes your way in this life and learn to find out what is going on, what it means, how it can help you, and how you can use it to benefit other people.
Yes, so there are no coincidences, and nothing in our life is random. It's all part of a life plan and destiny and evolution of God's miracle of life and learning and love. I want to thank you, Pastor Bill Jenkins, for sharing your new book, 15 Holy Numbers for Success in 2015, and for your passion and love of God's words and the many helpful messages contained, as you say, within the wisdom of the oldest book on the planet, the Bible, which is a tool for self-development and growth. For more information and to purchase this book, go to churchoffacts.org. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Pastor Bill Jenkins and I have shared our experiences and our search into ways that Spirit offers us to connect while here on earth, to feel united and in the oneness of the divine spark of eternal life through the messages in the Bible and our daily lives, so we may know we are never alone when we open our heart and soul to that extraordinary dimension of life. We can recognize that every encounter guides us from the start of this life to passing to the next, and that love, not fear, needs to be cultivated and respected so we may learn to listen to the whispers and signs from guides, spirits of loved ones, guardian angels, or just the coincidences, numbers, and synchronicity that show us the way to grow and mature and refine our soul's energy. In my new book, The Living Spirit, I wrote, each human being builds through unity and purpose of experiences an indivisible oneness of the finest aspects of divine messages, blessings, which are love, humility, forgiveness, and the generosity of merging ourselves with all that is. The purpose must be to prepare and refine our souls through our choices made in our physical lives for an eternal soul life worthy of divine introspection. Bill and I would have you listen to your heart responses and open your minds to the infinite personal divine power that shows you our lives, our experiences, and all that surrounds us are part of a divine plan. And at the end of the day, we are not alone. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to learn more about the metaphysical energies that make up our beautiful world of possibilities and inform us how to create our most purposeful lives. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com to hear new and archive shows. Thank you.